looking for news and politic talk for Christians? You found it right here. It's time for another episode of Christian Pulita Talk with Michael and Mary Beth.
I think I literally did the risky business slide up in here.
The show that almost was it.
I know.
All right.
Doggies kept me busy.
Running in late in the studio.
But I am here.
But you are here. Well, wow. Speaking of being here, whew, what a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you got something to start us off over there tonight?
I do.
All right, here we go.
It's devotion time with Mary Beth.
Woe to you. That is the reading for tonight. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. That's from Luke 11:43. God save us from loving the praise of men. It's so easy to do because ego stroking can be pleasant for our proud souls. We are like blooming flowers that bask in the sunlight of applause. Who doesn't like the best seats? Who isn't encouraged when people recognize us with a warm greeting? The Pharisees, as well as being sickeningly proud and self-righteous, were condescending toward others. Hollywood lives for adulation. It optimizes the world. It rewards itself. Such arrogance should never enter a pulpit or the pew. We live in a different world where pride is resisted and humility is exalted. Our world is sacred ground upon which we should remove the shoes of human pride. The praise of men should be shed like water off a proud peacock's back. It mustn't come near our flesh. There is only one seat that we should love, and that's the one at the feet of our Savior. Tonight's soul search is, am I no different from the Pharisees in that I seek adulation from the world? Think of a time when you stumbled over your pride. And the prayer is, Father, I seek only your smile. Everything else is secondary.
All right. Very good. Was that your phone I heard in the studio?
Yes, but at least it was a good song. I was rushing. I didn't have a chance to turn it down, so I'm working on that right now.
Oh, my goodness.
It's been a crazy day today.
Yeah. And, you know, earlier the week, you know, over the weekend, I was like, you know, getting some stuff put together for the show, and here I am, pretty much have the topic and everything laid out, and what do?
I throw a wrench in everything.
You throw a wrench in everything.
Ah, yes. Goals.
You come in here and you just conjugate. You know, you're like, think about this.
Here's my next question.
Here's a thought I've got. And every time you come in here with a pondering look, I'm like, oh, boy.
You're like, this is going to stop the presses. What do you want now?
So, you know, kind of midstream, pretty much almost done. I just pretty much take off and write the show all over again.
I know.
So tonight's topic, and I'm sure some of you are wondering what the message is about, because it just says, is that you, Lord? And the other part of that is, why can't I see or hear you? You know, your question was, why don't people see the Lord like Moses did? And
yeah.
And why, you know.
Where you actually get to have a conversation, or, you know, there's a burning bush or something.
Well, tonight, you're going to have some very clear information on that. And, you know, it's going to touch on some things about how we do communicate with God, and a lot of people just don't don't think about it. Just don't think about what's going on around them and how they actually are communicating and don't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that part. And you know what time it is?
News.
Oh, is it time for the news?
Politics. Current events. It's what's going on in the world. It's time for the news.
So, I've got a kind of a bombshell news story that dropped today. And it's not here, but it's very interesting nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
So, after turmoil obliterated her authority, Prime Minister Liz Truss resigned.
Oh, yeah, I read that. She's the shortest-serving prime minister in history.
Yeah, a whole tumultuous six-week term.
Yeah.
You know, her policies triggered turmoil in financial markets and rebellion in her party, and it obliterated her authority.
Yeah, I guess with everything that kind of went down in flames with Boris Johnson, she didn't really have an opportunity to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, with the Queen dying and all of that, and then, you know, Prince Charles now becoming King Charles, you know, she's had a lot going on, but still, I mean, they blame her for everything that's going on there, and I hate to break it to them, but that stuff was there before she got there.
Yeah, she couldn't. Kind of the opposite of what's going on here. You know, the past is getting blamed for things that are being created now. So she couldn't hold on any longer after a senior minister quit her government with a barrage of criticism and a vote in the House of Commissions descended in chaos and acrimony just days after she was forced to abandon many of her economic policies. So, yeah.
Interesting.
And it's leaving a divided conservative party seeking a leader who can unify its warring factions there in the UK. So,
you know, I think they're just going to have to choose the best person that they can and, you know, try to explain to the British people what the situation is right now and what the plans are.
Yeah.
Or what they think they might be working towards to try to turn things around there. But honestly, you know, it seems like when there's a recession here, there's a recession everywhere.
Oh, yeah. So, back to news here at the front. The doctors are ripping the White House for shielding COVID vaccine data.
Oh, good Lord.
As CDC okays shot for immunization schedules. Yeah. Wow. The basically now they're recommending COVID-19 vaccine for children and even infants now.
That would be a big old no for me.
Yeah. So there's that. And I mean, here we are, you know, 2 years, you know, into this, and
they're still using humans as lab rabbits.
Yeah. It's, wow, it's just more and more and more stuff that just keeps, you know, coming out. And you know, what it leaves one to think, how far this is going to go.
You know, considering they are still pushing it, and, I mean, I know you and I kind of talked about this outside of the show, but, you know, our doctor's office keeps pushing things like they push the COVID vaccine, they're pushing the flu vaccine, they're pushing shingles, they're pushing pneumonia. And it's like, you know, I don't really want all that junk going on in my body. Thanks.
You know, I told them, like, you know, I'm here for one thing, and I kind of feel like you're treating me like a used car.
Yeah.
You're just trying to upsell me.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
I feel like, you know, I'm just kind of, why am I here again?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that was kind of funny. Like this past weekend, Michael had to take me to the doctor's because I developed Bell's palsy on one side of my face. And the first question out was, did you have the COVID vaccine? I was like, no.
Well, at least you've learned to talk a bit better now.
Oh, my God.
Since you know, all this has started.
Yeah, kind of had mush mouth.
You're kind of talking a bit better now. So, wow. Yeah. And it's just completely nuts. So, here's one for you.
Alrighty.
The Pentagon. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to use tax dollars to pay for service members to travel to obtain abortions.
No.
Yeah.
No.
The policy allows troops to request time off for abortions and covers out-of-state travel for the procedure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then...
Won't any of them be coming here?
Well, Biden says the other day that the first thing he's going to do, you know, amid everything that's going on, the one thing that comes out of his mouth is, well, the first thing we're going to do in January is codify Roe v. Wade.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess that depends on who's all where.
So... why not worry about what's going on here financially? Why not worry about what's going on here with fuel and everything else?
So have you heard the what's going on with SCOTUS right now?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be hearing legislation, I guess, on whether or not it's legal or illegal for President Biden to be trying to evaporate tuition costs, you know, debt surrounding that.
Well, you know, I saw an interesting article on that, and they were talking about this is going to help so many people that make less than $125,000 take some debt off, but in turn, you're going to turn around and give it to everybody else who makes less than $125,000.
Like, so we're paying us. Yeah, okay.
So we're going to, you know, we didn't sign the papers for you to go to college.
No.
I mean, like,
I don't expect anybody to pay for mine.
You know, we don't expect anybody to pay for our kids.
No, or me myself. I still have loans, and I don't expect anybody to do that for me. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. It's a very hard cry.
I mean, sadly, it's probably the reason why I started off with great credit was I had those loans.
Well, you know, it's just, it is so, I don't want to use the term sad because it's just another brick that's being stacked up in front of people. And the outcomes, the writings are on the wall because there's a lot of interesting stories out there, right? Like right now that economists right now predict a 100% chance of full recession next year.
It already feels like we're there.
It does. But there's no inflation. Come on.
No, not only that, but here in our state alone, I mean, in our general lay of the land here in the upstate of our own state, there are three businesses that are going out of business around Christmas this year.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're just fully closing. And it's a really sad, sorry situation because it's going to be happening right before Christmas.
And it is. And what like it was yesterday, I think I heard where they were releasing several, you know, million barrels of oil from the reserve.
Uh-huh.
And this is the lowest the reserve has been since, like, the 80s. I mean, it's pretty scary that the fuel reserve is getting this low, but they are releasing more. And he's doing this in an effort to lower gas prices right here at the midterm elections.
Yeah, and the holiday season.
And the funny thing is that right after all the elections, you're not going to hear them try to fix anything with fuel because day one, first day in office is when fuel was affected.
That's right.
Day one. Think back. Go all the way back to day one. What were you hearing all before while he was going around, and the few times that he was out, oh, come on, man, I'm not stopping fracking. I'm not stopping oil and gas.
Really?
What'd you do on day one?
Pipeline closed.
Day one. So, you know, that 100% chance of recession next year, definitely, you know, look for it. Because really, at this point, there's kind of no way around it.
Exactly. And, you know, I was actually having a conversation with the cashier and a bagger at the grocery store yesterday. And we were talking about this, and they were like, you know, how are people going to celebrate this year?
Yep.
You know, I mean, food costs are way, way up. And, I mean, I think the only thing I haven't seen affected has been, like, pork chops.
Well, they were, I think I heard the other day, turkey is up, like, I don't know, something ridiculous.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, yeah, I mean, families are going to probably travel less, eat less, and, you know, gift less this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, for us, as far as what we do, we kind of, when it comes to food and the holidays, we would rather spend time with the kids. We do very, you know, we'll do like a small turkey and a small ham, but we decide to do finger foods.
Yeah.
On the holidays.
Exactly. You know? Because who wants to spend all day cooking and cleaning?
I would rather spend the time with the boys and you know, family and
absolutely
and spending time enjoying than spending time in the kitchen.
You know, and I grew up just like you did with all of those family traditions where you would have the big Thanksgiving meal and the big Christmas meal. But it just, to me, I mean, it just didn't seem like that was what we wanted to do as a family.
Well, the boys, they really enjoy, because a lot of times they like to get involved in helping to fix these little things, and it's little things they like. And, you know, we'll bake homemade cookies and we'll do stuff like that together. And then,
ooh, gingerbread.
Oh yeah. I got to make some of my gingerbread, mm-hmm. but we do those things even up before and leading to, but you know, during the time, during that day, I think this year I'm going to throw a little turkey breast and a little ham in the smoker and stuff.
Yeah.
And do that this year. But as far as the other little things, I mean, it's like sandwiches and things, and the boys enjoy that. They enjoy the time. They enjoy us being able to sit down and watch the parade rather than stand in the kitchen.
Yeah. And I mean, and what we serve out is just, I mean, like we said, finger foods, you know, like little slider sandwiches, fruit, nuts, you know, some sort of dessert. And like macaroni and cheese and some green beans with potatoes. And it's like literally you can graze all day on that stuff.
Yeah. It's nothing big. So you remember a few weeks ago, the whole Where's Jackie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there's a new poll that's showing that even the Democrats are now concerned about President Biden's cognitive health.
Just now? Okay.
Yeah.
Like, thanks for joining us on that.
We've been concerned about it since, I don't know, post 2 years before he,
yeah.
You know.
When he thought he was talking to a big crowd, and it was like eight people.
Well, it's very sad. And, you know, it's just one of those things that you sit back and you realize, you know, does he really realize that things are the way they are for him?
I don't think he realizes a lot of stuff. And I mean, it's not like the very sad thing is nobody wants him to move out of the way, because nobody wants Kamala Harris, and certainly nobody wants Nancy Pelosi in charge.
Oh,
I mean, I think that of those three, Joe just needs to stay where he is. We're used to his gaffes and ridiculousness, and we just need to stay there.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of different things going on there, definitely, for sure. So, you know, along those lines, I mean, I don't know, many times I wonder if he actually realizes or actually even knows some of the things that he does are kind of out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But something to think about there again.
Absolutely.
So today, there was something interesting about Whoopi Goldberg in the news.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. So she evidently freaked out on The View.
Oh, say it ain't so.
Over media not reporting on the quote unquote real culprit behind inflation. You ready for this one?
Has she met Joe?
Are you ready for this one?
I don't know.
It's corporate profits.
Oh.
While businesses right now try to keep prices as low as they possibly can, and a lot of times are absorbing and actually making less money, corporate profits are behind inflation, according to, I don't know where she gets this stuff.
I don't know where that View panel gets a lot of their stuff. I think she just picks it out of the air. She enjoy.
Yeah, it's like she was saying, you know, so one of the things that has been making me crazy is when people say, well, why don't the Democrats get the message out? And she said, I figured out that it's not the Democrats who are having the problem. The media is not reporting any of this because I came across this information yesterday out of the blue, she said. So
did a note fly down from up above?
I mean, what, did Nancy Pelosi fling a paper airplane at her or something?
Right?
I don't know. But there again, cover up. How many holes? I wonder how many holes are in the lawn in front of the White House because they're trying to cover up some. I bet
it looks like an Afghan.
I bet you the desk doesn't even sit straight in the Oval Office. There's so much stuff under the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Just wow. So, you know, just remember these things, you know, read them for yourself. We definitely encourage people to reach out to multiple media markets, you know, start to dig in, start to realize, you know, what's going on around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then all the stuff that you're seeing and reading and all of the fears and the fear mongering and all these things that are going on, all the answers and that you need to find anything can be found right in the Bible. That's why we bring this stuff up, and mm-hmm. that's why we encourage you to dig in for yourself. Just don't take people's word for things.
Yep. And I don't know how many people out there are living my life right now, but I must get 20 or 30 scam calls a day, you know, and I think a lot of them are like political groups reaching out, and it's like, okay, I didn't want to talk to you yesterday. I still don't want to talk to you today.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm like, y'all, are you sure you really want my opinion? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you. So you ready to dig into tonight's topic?
Oh, heck yeah. You know I want to know.
It's time to learn. It's time for the message.
Okay. So based off of your questions the other night.
Yeah.
So you were wondering, and the question came up of, you know, why doesn't, you know, the Lord show himself to anyone?
Yeah.
So sometimes our believing and unbelieving friends alike wonder why God just doesn't appear to everyone on earth and prove in, you know, in person that he exists. Why doesn't he show himself to each generation of humanity so that everyone on earth can see and hear him and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is real? Because, you know, after all, according to the Bible, the Lord appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, as God Almighty in Exodus 6:3, and he spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend from Exodus 33:11. So why doesn't he do the same for everyone else? So Christians freely admit that there are many specific things that we do not know about the infinite, eternal, omnipotent, omniscient creator of the universe, including why he does or does not do certain things. So for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. From Isaiah 55:8-9. So there is no way to know the mind of God unless he chooses to reveal some of his ways to us. Moses wrote, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we all may do the words of his law," from Deuteronomy 29:29. So, has God specifically revealed why he does not appear to every human being in history of the world to prove his existence to them? The fact is, God does not expressly address the question in the Bible. But he does reveal enough about himself and his creation to draw to the following conclusions. First, even if God directly appeared to and spoke with every person on earth, not everyone would believe him. After all, God revealed himself to mankind in the first century from John 1:1-14. Speaking like no man ever spoke from John 7:46, and working all manner of miracles, including walking on water, healing the blind, reattaching severed body parts with the touch of his hand, and raising the dead. Yes, even though, for example, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and came back from the dead himself, still many do not believe him. From John 11:45-53 and 12:9-11. They rejected him despite the fact that he, God, appeared to them face to face. So in 2012, a renowned atheist named Richard Dawkins was questioned about his unbelief in God. Specifically, he was asked, "What proof, by the way, would change your mind?" He quickly responded by saying, "That is a very difficult and interesting question because, I mean, I used to think that if somehow, you know, great big giant 900-foot-high Jesus with a voice like Paul Robeson suddenly strode in and said, 'Hey, I exist and here I am.' But even that, I actually sometimes wonder if that would." So though Dr. Dawkins was interrupted, he clearly left the impression that even if God appeared to him, taking the form of a giant 900-foot-high Jesus with a mighty voice, even the encounter would probably not convince him. So sadly, not only would many continue in their unbelief if God actually did appear to them, many would reject his authority over them. Even if they acknowledged his existence, Judas was among the closest friends and disciples of Jesus. He was a treasure of the group, yet he was a thief who eventually betrayed the Lord. So one might argue that Judas never believed. So, which would only further validate the very first point. But if he truly believed in Jesus as the Son of God, then he would ultimately choose money over the Master. If he chose sin over the Savior, He was not and will not be the last to make such choices. In fact, before any human being ever came to know God and subsequently reject his will, there were a number of angelic beings who did. They are created heavenly beings from Colossians 1:16. And knew God, but willingly chose to reject his will for them. And you can find out about more in 2 Peter 2:4 and Jude 6. So wicked and rebellious to the God of heaven did Satan become that he even tried to tempt God to sin. From Matthew 4:1-11. Making no mistake about it, in no way does acknowledging God's existence directly translate into loving him and submitting to his will. From Matthew 7:21-23. In fact, atheist Dan Barker demonstrated such rebelliousness, goodness, couldn't get that one out, in the Butte Barker debate when he stated that though he believes God doesn't exist, if there is a hell and the atheists get to the end of their life and discover, yep, I was wrong, there is a God, then I would say that to God, you go to hell. You don't have my respect. Can you believe that people would say this kind of thing? And third, God has already given every accountable person on earth an adequate amount of evidence to come to a knowledge of his existence. The very reality of a material universe, which could not have sprung into existence from nothing, nor is it eternal, testifies to the existence of a creator. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Hebrews 3:4. In fact, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, from Romans 1:20. So since the time of Adam and Eve, mankind has been given the opportunity to see how the things that are made testify quite clearly on behalf of a powerful, invisible creator. And as the psalmist proclaimed, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handwork, day into day utter speech, and night into night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and all their words to the end of the world. From Psalm 19:1-4. So why doesn't God appear to every person on earth to prove that he exists? The short answer is because he, as the sovereign ruler of the universe, chooses not to. We may not know all of God's reasons for why he chooses not to appear personally to every person on earth throughout every generation, but in no way does such a decision on his part prove, one, that he doesn't exist, or two, that he is unkind and unfair. The fact is, God has always given man adequate evidence for his existence. So much so that any person who refuses to acknowledge his existence is without excuse. From Romans 1:20. And that brings me to another point when it comes to not really seeing God, but hearing God. Are we really listening? It will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. And that's from Joel 2:24. God still does talk to people every day, all the time. The problem is we do not always hear because of the noise and distractions in our world. Sometimes, like the old radios with the dials, we're not tuned into the proper channel. To tune in, we need to spend time with God, talking to Him in prayer, and reading the Bible. And then we must listen because His voice is gentle, as shown when He reveals Himself to the prophet Elijah. Then He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore through the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in an earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice," from 1 Kings 19:11 and 12. If God's voice was so soft and small to His prophet Elijah, it will be the same for us today. Thus, we need to be still. There was a man named Joel Cirola. He passed away in 2019. You didn't know his name, but you knew his voice. Its unusual fiber and flexibility made him the king of voiceovers. And at one time, during radio shows, he narrated 40 different commercials at the same time. He made his fortune with the timbre of his voice, and marketers speculate that almost most of all Americans heard Cirola's voice every single day, though they didn't know who he was or anything about him. And from that point, everyone on earth hears God's voice every day. They may not recognize it. They hear it in His general revelation, the whoosh of the wind, the chirping of the birds, the rolling thunder, the crashing sea. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands day after day. They pour forth speech. They use no words, yet their voice goes out into all the earth and their words to the end of the world. Again, Psalm 19:1-4. So it's easy to miss the message. And I'm going to give you a story about me. You know, the other day, my phone rang at work, and after dealing with a difficult call, I sat there for a moment. And all of a sudden, I heard something. It was like pecking. And it was birds chirping. An actual bird, a robin, actually sitting on the windowsill outside of my window. And it was like tapping on the window and chirping at the window. And in my distraction, I'd almost tuned it out. But as I sat there for a few moments listening to them, and thinking to myself, if the birds only sang once a year, surely we would all mark the day on our calendar to make sure that we did not miss it. But because they're constantly tweeting their praise to God, we're prone to neglect them. So sitting there and hearing that, I was also reminded of God's other voice, the truth of Scripture, and specifically to this verse. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds, from Luke 12:24. Right there, God spoke to me through His voice in nature and through His words of Scripture. Psalm 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple." Whenever we open the pages of our Bible, we're entering a listening chamber in which God speaks to us personally specifically, infallibly, and intimately. And from my experience, the greatest way to hear God's voice is through daily Bible reading, memorization of Scripture, meditation, and saturation in the Word. And this is going to leave us with a point here that a lot of people talk about in the Bible, from the Bible, from Exodus. No man can see my face and live. So let's talk about seeing God's face. Why can no one see God's face and live? Sometimes we run across concepts and scriptures that simply don't make sense to us, or they seem to contradict each other. When we find these occurrences, rather than ignoring it, this should set off a flashing red sign in our mind that says, study and pray. The Lord wants us to understand. Many of our misunderstandings come from the translation from Hebrew to English. The quoted verse above, the one we just talked about, is one example of that. The contradiction is found in Exodus 33. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend from Exodus 33:11. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live, from Exodus 33:20. So at first glance, these two verses make no sense at all. First, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, and then later tells him that he can't see his face and live. How's that possible? The first verse states that he saw God's face, then continued to live. The confusion comes not from God's face, but from our assumption of the word live. So let's talk about the Hebrew word for live. In Hebrew, the word was translated into live in English is shayah. In biblical Hebrew, this word derives from shai, which means life. But what are other examples of this word throughout Scripture? Shia is sometimes used not to describe mortality or physical survival, but the word is meant to be revived or strengthened eternally into a full life, or even to save a life. In other words, God was not saying that if Moses saw his face, he would physically die. So what was he saying? What does God mean? The Lord desires that we get our strength from him, and this was a clear message in the desert when he told Israel that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord, from Deuteronomy 8:3. So here again, this was not referring to physical life, but instead it's about being revived or strengthened. Man isn't revived or strengthened by bread alone, but he is revived and strengthened by God's word. The holiness of God is enough. This is why Jesus quoted this verse to Satan during his 40-day fast. Jesus' temptation wasn't about eating physical food, but it was about being distracted by physical things for your strength rather than being fed from God. That is a temptation that we're all faced with, whether fasting or not. So, let's talk about what seeing God's face does to us. This is what God is communicating here in Exodus. No one can see his face and continue to be revived and strengthened by natural means. No one can look directly at the Creator of Genesis 1 and simply call it a nice experience. In other words, no one can see the face of God and simply live, continue as if everything was normal. looking into the face of God can change us in such dramatic ways that our previous life is destroyed. But it isn't that what we want? We want to be dramatically changed? You see, Moses spoke to God face to face. And in this context, Moses asked to see God's glory. In essence, God responded, "All right, but not my face revealed in full glory of my goodness. If that were to happen, you would be so radically changed on every level that no one could ever relate to you anymore. And I need you to lead Israel to the land I promised." So Moses simply saw his back, and even then he collapsed in worship. We later see how dramatic the change could have been as Moses continues to meet with the Lord on the mountain and in the tabernacle. And in result, Moses' own face became a source of fear for Israel. It shone so brightly that he needed to wear a veil when speaking to Israel. You see, sometimes we do not see the full revelation of the Lord in order to still relate to those that need our love and friendship. Seeing the face of God today, you know, we have access to that glory and more. Paul writes about this very thing in 2 Corinthians 3:7-18. He said, "Jesus is what lifts the veil off of our faces to see God's glory more clearly. It is his way of making us like him. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit," 2 Corinthians 3:18. So just as in the beginning in the Garden of Eden, God's desire to walk with and be in the midst of his children, Moses experienced portions of this life. This fullness is what the Messiah will restore when he returns. It is for this reason the psalmist doesn't discourage, but encourages us to do what Moses did, to seek his face. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Psalm 105:4. Now that may not be the direct answer that you were looking for, but that information is the very heart of what it is to experience God. Did that help you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think I was kind of thinking of it in terms of, you know, these very special people that God did reveal himself to, like Moses.
Right.
And is there nobody today that would even be on that level?
Well, God does reveal himself to people, but it's not... You know, a lot of that experience to some of God being revealed was done so in visions. It wasn't a direct face-to-face. Moses was the only one that was kind of face-to-face, but it was really, you know, to his back.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, think of, you know, I can't even really fathom what it would be like to, you know, how radically things would change if you were standing there face to face with God, you know. Mm-hmm. I just can't even fathom that. So, but, you know, there's only one way you're even going to get there. You're even going to get to that point. And that's by your personal relationship with God. It's what we talk about on every show, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's a person out there tonight who may be listening, maybe they've been, you know, reaching out, wanting to learn more information, the way to get to God is through your salvation. You know, admit you're a sinner. Be willing to turn from sin, and that's what repent means. And believe that Jesus died for you. He was buried and rose again to pay the price for your sins. And you don't have to be in a church. You don't have to be in a room full of people. You don't have to have a pastor do it for you. It's about your personal relationship. You can just simply say this prayer out loud anywhere you are. Father, I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins in Jesus' name. I repent and turn from sinning and doing wrong. Right now, I believe that Jesus died and rose again for my sin, and I accept his payment. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer and coming into my heart and saving me according to your word. I love you, Lord, and I ask you to seal me in the blood of Jesus and help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you prayed that prayer for the first time, that's the first step. Get yourself a Bible if you don't have one. Start reading the Bible. You know, start at the beginning. Don't jump to the end. You got to understand the beginning to understand the end. Get involved in a good Bible-based church. Get involved in a small group. Start learning how to pray. Start meeting with people that, you know, are like-minded with you. Start praying. Start praying about for the government. Bible commands that we pray for the government. We don't have to agree with everything that's going on, but pray for the Lord to shine his light in all the dark places so that people can see him more clearly and build a better relationship with him. You got any thoughts over there tonight?
I have no thoughts.
You have no thoughts? You're running around with an empty brain?
Yes.
Well, just like every week, we appreciate you guys joining us. We look forward to every Thursday night. And hey, you know what next week is? Do you know what tonight is? Tonight's kind of a little bit significant leading up to next week. You got any ideas?
It's your birthday?
No. Next week is our 100th live show.
Oh, awesome sauce.
Our 100th live show next week. So that's pretty cool. And we, you know, appreciate you guys being part of it. Hey, reach out to us. Check us out, ChristianPolitiTalk.com. I'm going to leave a little commercial here at the end that will leave some information, let you know how to reach out to us. If you got something you want to hear on the show, reach out to us. But we really appreciate you guys joining us. And we hope to see you right here next week.
Want to reach out to us? Here's how. Contact us at ChristianPolitiTalk@gmail.com. Also, don't forget our website, ChristianPolitiTalk.com. We appreciate you joining us and hope you have a blessed week.
celebration and the ceremony. There's silence on earth, but the heavens are roaring, telling the story of the coming glory. Can you feel your heart begin to race? Can you see the tide begin to change?
Produced by Sound Image Productions.